Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at Ring.com.
That was potential Gold Glove winner Jacob Young telling you in the final week of the Major League Baseball season.
Timely.
Who you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
No better time to get your Nats imaging in than in the final days of the Major League Baseball campaign. Jacob Young, another amazing catch yesterday. We're Greg and Dave, and we are shot out of a cannon today on The Fan at 2 o'clock. We will take you all the way up to 6:30. You don't know who's coming on the show today at 5. You don't know who's coming on the show today at 5.
Now, if you listened to the show yesterday, maybe you know. Like, you and me know.
Could have changed.
Oh, that's a great point, actually.
We could be audible. Tobacco. Maybe we're going to promise you Jacory Kroski-Merritt all week, and then it'll be Chris Rodriguez for just some reason.
That's how the team does it. Maybe we'll do that, too.
Maybe it'll be Jeremy McNichols.
We won't do a 5 p.m. running back by committee.
That's a great idea. You never know. You expect JCM, you get somebody else. No, it's going to be bill season. It'll be time to pay the bill. At 5 o'clock today, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, the first of a season's worth of Tuesday 5 p.m. appointments with Kroski-Merritt on Grant and Danny, so spread the word. We're looking forward to that. He will be on the show. A lot to get into. We've got a developing Terry McLaurin quad situation.
Yeah.
That's just a couple of minutes away. Plus, what's going on with the 5-car and Jaden Daniels' knee? That will come up this segment. But the big NFL news of the day, you heard B. Mitch and Finley talking about this on their program. Jackson Dart has been named the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. It took all of 3 games, including one masterpiece from Russell Wilson, to get benched. They are going to their rookie 22-year-old, who they made the number 25 overall pick in the draft, traded up to get Jackson Dart in the first round out of Ole Miss, the 6'2", 223 mobile quarterback, athletic passer. He had a great preseason, and they are turning the offense over to him as they get ready to play 3-0 L.A. They're taking on the undefeated Chargers, a great defense with a good scheme. D coordinator Jesse Minter with some college chops from Michigan under Harbaugh has come up and become a star on that side of the ball as a young coach. It's going to be a tall order for Jackson Dart.
There are 6-0-3 teams in the NFL, only 2 of them in the NFC, non-competitive New Orleans and the Giants, who, you know, have been in, I would say, a couple of games.
I would say all 3 games. They went to overtime.
Overtime against, I guess you could say they were in the Kansas City game.
They weren't probably in the Washington game. They lost by 15. They hung around for a while, but I never for 1 second thought they were going to win or could win that game.
Yeah.
So, I like where you're at.
Yeah, point is they're not a total disaster like some of these other teams that aren't competitive losing by 20 a week. But point of the dude's story is, I always talk about this, when there are guys on the hot seat, when there are decision makers, coaches, GMs, whomever, there are always, what they always try to do, not always, but most of the time, is they'll have various levers they can pull. Right? Go back to here in this city. Bruce Allen, under a lot of fire, rightfully so, because he was a boob and he was overmatched and he shouldn't have been doing any of the jobs that he was assigned to do because he was bad at all of them. But it couldn't be his fault. It was Jay Gruden's fault. That's why they're 0-5. The team that we assembled, it's clearly his fault, so that you pull the lever. a coach will have a quarterback waiting in the wings or a kicker switch or something. Ron Rivera was in distress and disaster. They held kicker tryouts and they brought you Chris Blewett to fix everything. That's what coaches do. That's what people who are on the hot seat do, is they wait and they go, but look, the new thing, everybody. So if they drop a game or two, it won't be the coach's fault. It's the fact we're starting a rookie quarterback and we're changing direction. So you're trying to gin up some kind of excitement when you know your season is lost, your team is lost, your gig is lost, everything is sliding down the mountain. You're looking for a handhold. This is, at the same time, probably the right call, right? I mean, what are you going to do? You tried out Russell Wilson for some more. You're delaying the inevitable for when the kid that you drafted in the first round is going to take over. What are you going to do? Lose? You got that covered.
I think it's the right call. I'm a little bit conflicted because it is a bad situation you're dropping him into, but is it going to be any better in a few weeks? Probably not. What I mean by that is when you watch them, their offensive line is not very good. So inevitably, he's going to get swallowed up and have the same problems Russ Wilson is having behind that line. But I do think Wilson, as a ball holder, is exacerbating how bad the line is. And while Wilson was incredible against the Cowboys in Week 2, that sequence where he just kept throwing the ball into the back of the end zone, like into the stands, one of which was flagged for an intentional grounding, against the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, that was a benchable set of plays. Like, that was the one where you go, there's a lot of bad things happening around you, but you got to give us a chance on these. He also threw two terrible interceptions in that game. There was like a deep post where he just didn't see the safety in cover two, which they were running on 50% of plays, the Chiefs defense was, because you know you're just trying to take away those deep shots from Wilson, who was doing that against the Cowboys. That can work against Dallas's bad secondary. It's not going to work most games in this league. But he had, you know, a 4.5 yard per attempt game in Week 1 against Washington, a 5 yard per attempt game in Week 3 against Kansas City, sandwiched around that gem against the Cowboys. And so I think they're going, we got to try something else.
Yep.
Maybe it is a momentum shift, benching of the goalie. You know, maybe it is the saving my job because I feel ownership breathing on the back of my neck. But you're also playing the best quarterback in your organization right now based on what we saw in the preseason. It's not going to go that well. It's not going to be as pretty as the preseason was, obviously. But Dart was really, really good. He was 32 of 47 for 372. He threw three touchdowns without a pick, had a quarterback rating up around 115. He showed off some wheels. He ran for about 60 yards in his limited play as well. And they've actually brought him in twice to run like these read option things. He's carried the football twice in these last couple of weeks. So we were trending in this direction.
Yes.
I'm a little surprised they made the move today. I thought it'd be another week or two. But I get it, and I got no issue with it.
Yeah, that last outing against Kansas City, to me, that sequence where it's got to have it time. It's not as if like, hey, it's crunch time. No, there's literally, you're facing goal-to-go situations. You're down multiple scores, very little time on the clock. This is not live to fight another down. This is not, you know, make sure you don't have an interception to hurt your passer rating kind of thing. Like, you need to force a ball somewhere that one of your players might have a chance to catch it. And Russell Wilson threw it out like it was the first quarter with 13 minutes to go, and they were going to settle for a field goal because they'll live to fight another day. That was a non-competitive sequence.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing. And especially even on fourth down, you kind of go, I can't see that again. Whatever that is, I can't do it. And I won't do it. I have the power to do something else. Dart's exciting. I mean, to me, honestly, the guy he reminds me of, and I know this is going to sound like a very negative comp, but he's got a little Daniel Jones to him. There's a little bit of giddy up more than you'd think when he moves around.
That's the NFL leader in EPA per play at quarterback through 3 weeks, Daniel Jones, that you're talking about.
That is, yeah, put a little respect on his name with Shane Steichen.
That's MVP candidate through three games, Daniel Jones, that you're talking about.
So far, indeed.
That is the architect of an Indianapolis Colts offense that is unstoppable and a 3-0 division-leading Colts team, Daniel Jones, that you're talking about.
Just a couple of punts so far reminds me of an offense that I used to know around these parts. But yeah, I mean, that to me is the comp. Can sling it a little bit, can move better than you think. At least there's some excitement there. There's a reason to tune in if you're a Giants fan. One of my neighbors, a good buddy of mine, is a Giants fan, and he's pretty much already checked out.
You have a Malik who's a Giants fan?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. I have now, it'd be interesting because he got the ball about as much as neighbors did this past week against Kansas City. But yeah, he's like, it's not fun. We already know it's not fun. Like, after that loss to Kansas City the other night, there's no point in any of this.
Oh, no. If you're a Giants fan, this is the only thing that's interesting.
Yep.
Like, you want this. That can't be why they do it, though. But this is a massive day if you're a Giants fan because you're wondering, when is it going to happen? You can't wait. You've got this hope. Until you see a guy fail or struggle, you think your guy is going to be the superstar. Occasionally, you get Jaden Daniels. But a lot of the times, you don't. You know, sometimes it takes a while, and you still wonder a year later, Caleb Williams, Is he the guy? Isn't he the guy? Sometimes it gets off to a poor start. We're going to see Michael Penix this week. More interceptions than touchdowns. Having played an amount of games, it's like a third of the way through an NFL season at this point. But, yeah, I'm excited to watch him play. It adds intrigue, no doubt about that. Let's localize the football convo. The Commanders are off today, Tuesday, at the facility with a Sunday 1 o'clock tilt in Atlanta. Adam Schefter, about an hour ago, tweeting that Terry McLaurin is uncertain to play Sunday against the Falcons due to a quad injury. He is seeking more information about the injury. Ben Standig locally, Substack Standig, said that McLaurin is in the process of getting a second opinion on the quad. So, you know, you get your imaging done. Those doctors who do that, whoever those doctors are, tell you what they think. Then the team doctors weigh in. So there's theoretically probably like two opinions out of the chute. And then you eventually get, you know, one more opinion in this case if you're Terry McLaurin before you decide what you're going to do. So his status, very much up in the air. He is progressing. I mean, if you look at his production each week so far this season, it has gone up. Week one, Terry McLaurin finished with 27 yards. Week two, he finished with 48 yards. And then in this past week three game with Mariota throwing the football, he went for 74. Now, it's got to be noted that almost 60 of those came on one play.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make that play, it's two for, you know, 15 or whatever it was. I think 18 yards on two catches. But he didn't play at all after the big catch to set up a touchdown. So there could have been another quarter of productivity there for him as well in the fourth quarter. But he was getting more involved, seemed to be coming into form. So this could be, you know, a big deal if you don't have him against the Falcons. It would mean a lot more Luke McCaffrey, who made three catches, caught his first touchdown at the end of the game this past Sunday. It would mean you really need Noah Brown back on the field, who's also hurt. Like, what if you don't have McLaurin or Noah Brown, and now your wide receiver room, if Debo's doing the Debo thing, is basically Chris Moore on one side and Luke McCaffrey on the other with Jalen Lane playing a bunch? No disrespect to those guys, but very quickly...
That's not exciting.
That is not an NFL-caliber, high-end receiver room that can elevate your backup quarterback, Marcus Mariota.
It's not scaring any defensive coordinator either. I mean, any look is going to get schemed up. I mean, you see McCaffrey's, you know, walk-in touchdown. That's an example of when that can happen.
Now, if that group from Marcus Mariota with a couple of new guards and, you know, without John Bates, your blocking tight end, if he doesn't play, we don't know any of the statuses yet. But if that all happens in Atlanta and they go out and they score 36 points in a big win, then Cliff Kingsbury can just put his feet up on a desk and, you know, have a nice champagne, and everyone can talk about how awesome he is for a week.
He should be walking on rose petals like the Prince of Zamunda, pretty much. You know what I mean? Just at his feet.
Like, nothing matters. You're just scheming it up. Like, give me 11 guys, I'll make music.
Yeah, give me 11 guys in a football.
Give me a tuber, I'll make music.
Like, to get some money out of it, Mr. Costello. Yeah, I mean, this is going to hurt. I mean, if you're Terry McLaurin, you're not going for a second opinion because everything's okay. You know what I mean? At a minimum, he's not going to be himself this week. And here's the thing. No one's going to know. No one has any idea if him not playing or holding out or in or whatever for an extended period of time and starting late is the reason he got hurt, or if it's a football play he got hurt. No one will be able to tell. That will be a mystery forever and ever. Even people that were there, and even McLaurin probably couldn't tell you if it was the football play that did it or a soft tissue injury that was going to happen inevitably or because he didn't have the ramp-up time. No one will know, and no one has any idea. But the point is, here we are. They are razor thin all of a sudden at several spots. In the secondary, as we talked about, you mentioned Bates previously, now with McLaurin and Noah Brown already done. This is kind of the scary scenario. It's not all about age, obviously, but there's a correlation when you are the oldest team in football. Older players get injured more. Now, Bobby Wagner's a machine. So sometimes you buck the trend. But the point is, when this happens, this is one of the things that for those of us who are kind of going, hey, have you noticed that the way they're building? And I understand why they're doing it this way, because the cabinet was bare and they're kind of being good right now because they've got a quarterback that's really, really good. So I get that they're doing this, but here's the risk. Well, now it's happening. This is what the risk is.
Two things are true here. They are one of the oldest teams in the league, and that does increase your chance of injuries. But also, most of the injuries they're sustaining, a lot of them are not to older players.
Totally fair, yeah.
Like Trey Amos got hurt. He's a rookie. Percy Butler got hurt.
Bates is a young guy.
He's not a kid. John Bates has just got his second contract, is in the prime of his career. I wouldn't even consider Terry McLaurin an age risk from an injury standpoint. We're talking about basically a 30-year-old. It's not like Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, you know, to the point we were making in the preseason.
Right, but for Wise, Eckler, Jones.
Yeah, there's some of that for sure. I just mean others. Specific to like this week's problems.
Sure.
All the injuries they had against, you know, in the most recent game against the Raiders, and like now the secondary being in peril. Will Harris is, you know, bone breaking is not because he's old, but right. Yeah, I think both things are true. That was kind of how I started it. Like, they're going to have some old guys get hurt because they're old. Also, they're just, this is the correction, I think, from having such a healthy year last year. Something we talked a lot about, by the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen year over year. You just don't get that lucky. Some teams get snake bitten, where every single year you get pillaged by injuries. Jay Gruden had that problem on the offensive line for years. The 49ers are a great example of this. Mm-hmm. You saw Nick Bosa, we saw it yesterday, torn ACL out for the year. I mean, they are dropping like flies, all their best players. Still no Ayuk, and now no Brock Purdy, and they had McCaffrey on injury reports the last couple of weeks, and Nick Bosa's out, and you can go round and around. There's teams that just every year have those problems, but what you rarely see is a team that year after year forever just doesn't ever have injuries. And last year they got so lucky, it's been the opposite so far this season.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. And I don't know how well prepared they are for it. Again, I go back to the preseason. It's not apples to apples. It's not one-to-one. But their backups, playing other backups, got shellacked. Got knocked around.
Do you feel any better about receiver based on how Luke played this week?
No.
Because he did come out in the fourth quarter. Then the 43-yard catch and run touchdown was mostly like scheme, and he was wide open, and he just ran into the end zone. But he caught two other balls outside of that. I mean, I would feel a little bit worse had that game not have happened for Luke, and the last thing we've seen is the preseason, basically. But at least you feel like he's starting to come on with some of the athletic traits and maybe the game's slowing down a little bit. Now, you still have to move on without Terry McLaurin.
Right.
I guess where I would have anxiety is just the number of guys that might miss. We got a long time between now and Sunday. Nobody knows about most of these dudes. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to go based on how Mariota played this weekend and the fact that you'd be really pushing it to get him back anyway, but perhaps he will. But in a world where you don't have Daniels, where you have possibly no McLaurin or Brown and no Bates and no Eckler and two guards that are making their second start of the year, I mean, that's over half of your offense.
Just like that. Yeah, I mean, to me, receiver's the spot because Noah Brown is hurt. Noah Brown is going to be hurt. That when he comes back, we'll have a limited window of Noah Brown play, and then Noah Brown, again, not to be flippant about it, but has an injury track record. One of the reasons he was available to you. When he's played, he's done well. For McLaurin, not being in there, that all of a sudden, as you said, to start this thing, really lowers the caliber of the room, right? If Luke McCaffrey is able to escape in a busted coverage and go for 43, outside of that, it was 2 for 13. You know, I'm not necessarily writing home saying I've now seen the next great gadget player, the next great wideout here in Washington. Credit to him for those two catches, but, you know, nothing special there. Jalen Lane, great punt returner. To me, not ready to be a real contributor via the receiving game. Again, he could do some stuff around the line of scrimmage, a couple gadget things. You sort of turn into a punt return. You flip it to him, going sideways, a pop pass, something here and there. But not there as a route runner in my mind. So it's Chris Moore. It's Luke McCaffrey. It's a lot of Ertz, probably. And, you know, whoever comes out of the backfield, maybe it's McNichols.
I'm a lot higher on Lane, just out there at practice every day, watching him route guys up. He did it throughout the summer. He hasn't yet on, like, you're talking about three or four throws that haven't gone very well so far.
Sure.
And that's true.
And that's all I've got,
like,
yeah.
But sometimes that's a tell. Like, De'Ami Brown's on team can't get right, three or four passes into his career, and you're going, I don't really know about this guy. And 3 years later, he's still on team can't get right. Sometimes, though, like, you redo that play right afterwards, and you might make the catch or box the guy out a little better. So if you told me right now Jalen Lane went, like, 5 catches for 71 yards this week, that would not shock me at all if he got an opportunity and made plays. Having watched the practices and how good he was, like, I'm hopeful and confident that he could actually help them.
Well, now's the time. I mean, if it's going to happen, this would be a great opportunity for that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if there's no McLaurin and if there's no Noah Brown, heck yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to see as we get closer to Sunday. But speaking of injuries and the Commanders, what is going on with Jaden Daniels' knee? And philosophical question here, can you be day-to-day for weeks? Let's get into Daniels' knee next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. We appreciate that. Tuesday, ahead of a Sunday tilt, so still a lot of questions about who's going to be in, who's going to be out for Washington. We just talked about Terry McLaurin's quad with the update from Adam Schefter, but more notably, we still don't really have much info on Jaden Daniels, and that's because the team is being immensely vague. Whenever they're asked about Daniels, they don't really give much. They say he's day-to-day, and they're not going to miss any markers, and they kind of keep it moving. This is the same group who last year never acknowledged that there was a break in the rib. They just said he had a rib. And whenever they were asked questions about that, they didn't really give any more detail.
He's in possession of a rib.
Turned out he played through the injury because it was a pain threshold thing, and for a month was compromised, and it cost him and them a little bit, but for the most part, he was still your best option, and they kept it moving. But now it's a knee, not a rib, and so that's not on the table. And so the question is, does he come back? Does he play against Atlanta? I don't know if you noticed this, but the tide is turning a little bit now on whether he's going to play for the Commanders against the Falcons. In the local media, I'm now hearing a lot more, he's probably not going to play against Atlanta. Well, we weren't even hearing that last Thursday about the game that he's already missed. Last Friday, it was very much a, it's coming down to the wire here. We're going to see what he does
on
Friday.
He's going to test it out, yeah.
I mean, the suggestion on Thursday, before he did not take the practice field on Friday, by a lot of the people, not only that cover the team locally, but I just mean everywhere around town, was, well, maybe he's going to play and he's not going to miss any time. But now you fast forward to Tuesday, and all of a sudden the tenor seems to be that he might not play against the Falcons either, which is fascinating to me. I think it has a lot to do with how Marcus Mariota played, and the fact that now you can take your time a little more because he played at a terrific level and the offense had its best game. But what do you make of that shift?
Again, this is sort of the, it doesn't quite jive with what we see. It's not the same as last year, because last year it was, yeah, you know, he's playing, he's active, you know, he's got a rib, and we were sort of told everything was fine, and yet as soon as, you know, the series ended, he's going to the sideline, talking about Daniels, getting wrapped in some sort of, you know, middle body heating, massaging type thing to try to make it so that he's not in excruciating pain. And then he's not the same on the field. But then we're told everything's fine. So again, you have eyes clear, obvious information. Look, these are easy data points to collect. You don't have to have you don't have to be Columbo enough to have a detective license and ask weird probing questions to figure out what's going on. He's not right. I don't care what they say because he's not right. So then, now this year, you fast forward to an injury, day to day, you return to play, the mile markers, it's all coming, it's all happening, and he's been day to day now for how many days has it been? What is this? We're going to be approaching 2 weeks where he's day to day. Interesting.
Yeah, I will continue to just say that the original thing that we heard and what we've talked about on the show was that the Falcons game was always the big question and more interesting, I would say. Was he going to play in that game? And the team certainly had hope, from what I can gather, that he would be available by then. And you're not going to rule him out before you need to last week either. But that was kind of the thought, was probably going to miss this week, and we'll see about next week. Hopefully it's only a game. I'm not ready to say he's not playing against the Falcons, but if you're asking me, do I think he's going to play, Danny? I would say no. I'm basing that on, number one, the fact that clearly the knee is still not 100% right, and until we see him take part in a full practice, which I doubt happens tomorrow, but it's possible, I guess, then that's just a fact. That's not speculation. If you're not practicing and you're wearing a knee brace that's gigantic, then clearly the knee is not right. This is not a rib. This is not a pinky on your non-throwing hand. You know what I mean? This is not your ear having some issue. Like, this is a knee for a guy that runs more than everyone else not named Lamar Jackson. So it's very, very simple for me. Until the knee is completely fine and you're not wearing a knee brace under your baggy sweatpants at the game that everybody can see because it's very, very big with, you know, and keeping you from bending your leg essentially as you walk around on the sideline, then there's nothing to really discuss here. Then we're not that close. Am I upset that they're doing the day-to-day bit instead of the week-to-week thing? No, that's within their prerogative. Like, no problem. You want the Raiders to potentially prepare for him? I don't think they actually did. But if that's how you want to do it, go for it. You want the Falcons to prepare for both? Perfectly fine. And in this case, this time around, this week, maybe there is actually some question that maybe the healing is happening and he might be able to get back. Because we're talking about coming up on what would be, what, like 2.5 full weeks after the injury at the time of that game. So they're not doing anything wrong, but the idea that it's day-to-day is just flawed to me. Like, I don't believe in the premise that you can be day-to-day for 2.5 weeks. That means you were actually week-to-week. Like, you cannot simultaneously be day-to-day and week-to-week, in my opinion. Because someone might say, well, sure you can. It could just go on for a couple weeks. Well, those things are antithetical. Like, when the injury happened, it was week-to-week. It sounds worse to say that, so they said day-to-day. And you can always couch it with, we just don't know. This guy heals fast. He could come in and feel a lot better. Of course he could. I could come in tomorrow and have lost 14 pounds. Probably not going to happen, right? So this is more of a week-to-week thing. Luckily, we're 2 weeks in at this point. We're closing in on that. And so he is nearing a return, hopefully. But everything's on the table. You know, they told us nothing about the rib. They're telling us nothing about the knee. You can't, A, not give us any information and then be upset when people are speculating. You don't get to do both.
Right. Yeah, we're alone in the dark looking for a light switch. And all the data we have is, you know, that he was inactive,
right?
Not
to mention, specific to this show, the stuff we heard originally, which has all been right so far.
Absolutely.
Kind of led us to believe he might miss a couple games.
Totally. So, yeah, I mean, there's always the chance that this is all in the up and up. And here's what I mean. When you go, he's really, let's just say for the sake of argument, he really truly is day to day. And all it would take is this mile marker, this return to play metric, this thing or this baseline that he passes a test, and he hasn't quite passed it yet, or we don't quite feel comfortable. He could still, quote unquote, be day to day. My point there is, I don't believe you. You see what I'm saying? Like, you've lost the ability to tell me exactly what's going on with an injury and then have me take it at face value. Last year happened. Same thing with the Nationals, right? It's different organizations, different stuff. When the Nats tell me he's day-to-day, I'm going, please get him an x-ray because it might be a broken foot for Anthony Rendon. He's day-to-day. Might be a broken wrist for Danny Espinosa, and he played with it for 2 months. You see what I'm saying? Like, I've been burned enough times where I take you at face value. Sometimes it is face value, where they say Strasburg won't need surgery. And I go, we'll see about that. And it was just a little thing loose in his elbow. It wasn't actually the dire elbow thing that was the end of all time.
But you have the benefit of doubt now.
Yeah, you this group does not have that. And that's okay. I mean, it sounds like a criticism. It's not. My point is, I now, because I saw what happened last year with their marquee player, where you told me everything was fine, and it wasn't. It wasn't until an Instagram Live that we found out the rib was actually broken. Anybody watching could tell, A, he ain't the same. B, they're treating it. That's not how someone who's totally healthy gets treated. So if you could tell me, you tell me day to day, sorry, I don't believe you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that, there's nothing else to that.
Yeah, and
me.
I want to go back and double-click on something you said, which was, sounds like a criticism. I think it's important to point this out. I'll speak for myself, but it sounds like you agree with me. This is not a knock on the idea that, like, anyone's suggesting they should come out and tell you exactly what's going on with Jaden Daniels. I certainly don't feel that way. I don't think they should come out right away and say, hey, guys, there's a chance he misses two football games, and it's very possible that this lingers for a few weeks, and, you know, he actually has this PCL thing going on. I'm not saying they should do that at all, necessarily. But I take issue with the idea that media and fans shouldn't then also be curious about what's going on. And it also is very, very possible that there is a lot more to the story than is being put out there. That's all I'm saying. And until we know what's going on, until you see him start to get back on the practice field, I think you can wonder about a timeline. You can wonder about the severity of the injury and what we're being told. I guess for me, there's kind of two ways to accept this information. One is you and I kind of going, they're not saying much. They're being purposefully vague. It's the exact same group who last year didn't acknowledge that he broke his rib. We have no idea what the actual injury is or the timeline. They're saying he might play Sunday. Last week, he wasn't playing Sunday. Now, all of a sudden, on Tuesday ahead of Sunday, the following week, you're getting people saying he's probably not playing this week. Maybe not. In fact, I would bet against it, but he might. My point is, we don't actually know anything. But the other side of this would just be, here's what Dan Quinn said. That's what's going on. And you just take that and go, what else can we talk about? Let's look at other parts of the operation. And if you want to operate that way, God bless you. That's your prerogative. Like, that's what they're going to do on, you know, the Commanders Broadcast Network or whatever else. Right. Like, that's awesome. Do that. But as a person who wants to know exactly what's going on with the MVP and the face of the franchise and the guy that's going to take you as far as you're going to go with one of the most important body parts that he has as a running quarterback, I'm going to keep kind of wondering what's what.
Yeah, and forgive my curiosity and interest on that
exactly.
One.
Exactly. You're going to have to forgive me for being interested in the face of the operation and the CEO of this Fortune 500 company's availability and sustainability to get healthy and stay on the field here in the weeks ahead. Let's go to Brian, who's in Georgetown on Grant and Danny. What's up, Brian? How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Let's be honest, okay? I mean, the organization is definitely hiding things. A knee sprain, anyone that ever played any sport, it's pretty serious, even when it's a sprain. And for them to say it's day by day, I think that's total BS. And you know what? We are fine with Marcus. I would love to see him sit for another 3, 4, 5 weeks if needed. There is no need to rush him back, and there's no need to have another RG3 situation that we don't need.
Well, so the 3, 4, 5 weeks, I can't join you there because it could be a 2 to 3 week recovery for a knee sprain that gets you to being able to play against the Chargers at 100%. And if that's the case, when he's ready, play him. I'm not saying when he's 100% healthy, running around without a knee brace, sprinting on the practice field, cutting and jumping and playing basketball in his spare time, that he shouldn't be playing football again. Absolutely. All I'm saying is, let's get there. Right? Let's make sure that that's happening. And what they were suggesting was that might happen. Day-to-day means that could be 48 hours, 72 hours. I think we have enough information now to know after that injury, that was not the thing. That it was not in 48 or 72 hours he might be running, cutting, sprinting, and ready to play a football game again. I mean, it has been now, what, 11, 12 days? Thursday night football, 7 from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, like 12 days ago? And he's wearing a big hulking brace. Would he be full practice? Will he be tomorrow? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll learn a lot more tomorrow, for sure.
Let's go to AJ in Gaithersburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, AJ?
Hey, guys. So I had a little bit different take on it. And it was, first of all, by the way, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks we can do without Jaden Daniels.
Well, that's another interesting point.
I don't agree with that at all.
I mean, it's all well and good after you pummel a bad Raiders defense, but if you go to Atlanta and get sacked six times and you lose a football game by a field goal, I think the idea of how urgently they need him back is going to change a little bit.
Absolutely. My take was that they beat the Raiders so handily, and they might, after seeing Atlanta get drubbed by 30 points, that they might have just changed it up and said, we don't need him now. Let's, but they don't want to put that out in the media and give bulletin board material to Atlanta. Like, we're not taking them seriously.
So, and I appreciate the call. People have this kind of week to week view of it, which I appreciate because that's the nature of the league. To me, this is the most important player this franchise has had in decades. The reason everyone's key card is going to work in 10 years, please treat him well. Please do right by him. If they were playing the Cowboys this week, the Eagles next week, and another NFC power the week after that, I still need him healthy for the rest of this year, for the long term, etc. So I understand the point, and you made good points, and I'm not begrudging the caller, but just we can get away with it one more week because Mariota played well. That never enters the discussion for me.
So it does for me completely,
which I get.
We'll actually do that topic later in the show, but as a prerequisite to that conversation, it's obviously worth saying that does not mean I would ever rush him back. He's not playing until he's 100% regardless. But you know, if I can buy him an extra week because I'm now 2-1 and because my quarterback that would start as my backup has had three awesome performances in three games and just looked amazing this past week, yeah, I feel a lot better about asking Mariota to go start in Atlanta. And I feel like it's a lot less necessary when the entire organization, every player, every coach, everybody in the front office, every staff member, everyone on the social team needs a win, is counting on a win, that I feel like I can get that without Jaden Daniels with more confidence than I did 7 days ago, perhaps, you know, going to Atlanta after the way Mariota played and the way they looked on Sunday. The question for you guys on the phones right now at 800-636-1067, what do you think's going on with that knee, and what information do you think, not only out there, you know, that we know that may or may not be right, but how much don't we know? This is not a knock on what they're providing. They're probably doing it the right way, but is it possible that this thing was worse when it happened than we originally found out? How did we go from a week ago at this time, there's a real good chance he plays on Sunday, to now all of a sudden there's people going, probably doesn't play against Atlanta? And is that at all intriguing to anybody? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
The Commanders have the Falcons at 1 p.m. on Sunday, a chance to start the season 3-1 as they play at the road on the road at a team that benched its quarterback for poor play this past week, with Michael Penix being picked off twice as Atlanta got shut out 30-0. I'm trying not to over factor how bad Atlanta was in Charlotte into my evaluation of this game, because this is such a week-to-week league, especially early on. Like, look at the Packers. They go from the Thursday night beatdown of Washington to losing in Cleveland.
Through 2 weeks, a buzzsaw that no one was going to beat until Cleveland got them in week three.
So it's very possible you go down to Atlanta, you take on the Falcons, Bijan Robinson has a big day, they get Drake London going. Next thing you know, they're humming on offense. And we just saw, it's only been a couple of weeks, that primetime game against the Vikings, I think they had like 6 or 7 sacks of J.J. McCarthy.
That was a hunting party.
I mean, their defense looked really, really good in that game. So they got that club in the bag, too. So try not to overthink what I saw from Atlanta this past week. It was just one game. It was a bad game. They've got to bury that film and move on. But we're talking Jaden Daniels right now. Not sure about his status for this weekend. It is very possible that he doesn't play for a second straight week. Obviously, the Commanders moved on with Marcus Mariota at quarterback and hung 40 and got a win against a Raiders team that was pretty clearly the worst defensive team of the three that they've played. And specifically on that day, like, the Giants played a much better game in week one. The Packers played a way better game in week two. And then the Raiders, gigantic gap, kind of the way they played on defense in week three. So Daniels could have gotten it going, too. He might have put up ridiculous numbers in this game if he was healthy. I'm quite sure that he would have. But going into Atlanta now, with the lack of information we have about the knee, we're wondering, like, where is this thing going? And what don't we know? They said day-to-day, going back to right after the injury. Well, it's been 12 days now, and the lean, at least when you hear people that are out at the facility every day talking about this, is that he may not go this week either. So can both of those things be congruent? I mean, can they work together? Bernie's in Potomac Falls. What's up, Bernie?
Gentlemen, I'm actually going to err with the team here. I think there's two ways of looking at this. Is Jaden Daniels good to go? Okay, let's say he's 90%, but they're not going to risk that. I think even if they would say, normally, we don't know what we got in Jaden Daniels, we're going to let him go out there. The goal of the team is to make sure Jaden Daniels is healthy games 9 through 15, 9 through 16. I don't mind them sitting him. And you're going to know as soon as that DQ says, you know what, Mariota's taken all the first team snaps, let's roll with it. So if the team needs to put him in some type of bubble wrap to make sure that he is good for the Chargers game or even the week afterwards, do it. Make sure he's right. It's not worth, especially he doesn't really know how to protect himself a lot of times when he's running. You tweak that ligament or whatever he's got, the sprain, he could be out a month. So I know you got a lot of calls, gentlemen. Thanks.
Appreciate you, buddy.
You'll get zero pushback from either of us on the idea of protecting the quarterback. It's what we've been imploring and begging for. And if that's what they're doing, go for it. I mean, really, it's not even like, I don't think we're challenging how they've handled this at all. I guess my point is, we don't know how hurt he is. And so in that hypothetical he brings up is, I'm with the team. They're protecting him at 90%. Is he 90%? Is he 40%? You know what I'm saying?
Is he 68.7? I have no idea.
Is he 20% right now and 3 weeks away from being 100%? That's my point, is we have no idea what percent he's at. But just to go along with his example, if he is 90%, and let's just say in that world a playoff game this past Sunday against the Raiders at home was against Green Bay in the postseason or whatever, and he would have played, then good on them, you know, for not playing him against the Raiders. If he's 90% right now and he's just not practicing at all because they're keeping him out in that big bulky brace, good for them. Then I completely agree. They're doing the exact right thing. What I'm saying is we have no idea if he's 90%. And if it sounds that way based on what they're saying, I'm saying you would have thought that when he broke his rib too. Because
right.
They were saying, no, he's not compromised at all. It's like, well, why does he have this heating thing on his side? And why is he getting wrapped in between drives? Oh, no, that's just, he just likes to be comfortable in that. That's what he likes
it's
to wear.
It's Monday Night Football. It's what you do.
Let's go to Derek in Akakeek. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, listen, man, I've been listening, man. You guys are doing a great job, always doing a great job.
Appreciate you.
And I'm in the position of, I'm in the boat that says, you know, he's not scheduled for surgery. He's not wearing a walking boot or brace or nothing like that. They are taking their time with him, and I'm cool with that. I appreciate the team building a team that can sustain success, even if he's our best player is not out on the field.
Big deal.
I don't feel like they need to tell us everything, man. I think we're in this age of instant information, and we want to know everything. We just need to know that we trust these guys to handle him the best way possible, so that the team can have maximum success.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I get the sense that people are calling and answering a question I'm not asking. I'm not asking, should the team be giving us the information at the press conference? Because obviously they shouldn't. I guess what I'm wondering is, are you buying what they're selling? That's a very different question.
Yeah.
And they are suggesting it's day-to-day. Does it feel more week-to-week? Because it certainly does to me.
And they're well within their rights to do it this way.
Yeah.
And it's not a criticism.
It's how I would do it.
Right. The criticism for me comes when a player, especially a really important one, isn't right, plays with a giant knee brace on, and re-injures himself, and then it all goes downhill. That didn't happen. So if I see a player that's compromised, that is not himself, that he can't protect himself, that he can't do the things that make him special, and you're just going, yeah, but it's a week to week, you got to beat the Vikings this week or whatever. I don't do that dance. He's too important. I can do it with a running back that's not going to be on the team in 2 years. I can't do it with my franchise player at the most important position in sports.
Disco's in Laurel. Disco, we got to be quick, but I want to squeeze you in before we move on. What's up?
Thank you for squeezing me in real quick. I think the information that we're now, I think we were lulled into thinking it was a little bit more optimistic because he finished the game. Day-to-day is, I don't believe them what they're saying with day-to-day, because day-to-day means you'll start hearing about he's a game-time decision. To me, day-to-day means game-time decision. The last point, I don't want to get lulled in. I love Marcus Mariota. He did his job. I don't want to get lulled into thinking that, okay, we can just let this keep going and going if he's like 90, 95%. The clock is going to strike 12 on Marcus Mariota. He's great, but let's not pretend like this is going to be sustainable. Thanks.
Appreciate you. I think that's very well said.
When Daniels is ready, you put him back out there.
Yep.
But I don't even think, I haven't even acknowledged that part of it because I don't even think that's worth discussing. I think everybody agrees there, right? Like, as soon as he's ready, let's let it rip.
Yeah, there was a guy who tweeted us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny who's like, what is all this talk? There's no quarterback controversy. And I'm like, you're right. Nope, there's not. Nobody's saying there is. There's zero controversy of any kind in any way. And anyone saying that there is, you can just not listen to that person anymore. They have disqualified themselves from the grown-up discussion.
Right. Yeah.
There's not one.
If that person's out there, mute them. Either by way of walking away in real life or actually with the button online.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
But like if their avatar has the name Mariota in it. You know what I mean? That's it.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've got Commander Survivor. Who's going to get sent home? Who's going to get immunity? We'll tee that up next. Plus, our fastest 16 minutes in football on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love.
I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.